You know, there's nothing like the end of a person's life to give us still living pause to reflect on just exactly what God is doing in our life. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon to get today's Abounding Grace Radio going.
Abraham's days were perfectly numbered by the Lord. And why is that important? When you begin to step back and survey his life, what a hard life it was. And it's almost, I feel like God is in some way screaming, yelling, look at this. I uphold every aspect of life. I did it for him. I'll do it for you.
Isn't that encouraging? The Lord is kind and gracious to us to uphold and sustain us. Does that see you through the tough days? I pray it does. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we find great encouragement at the ending of Abraham's life. It's the satisfied life. Join us in Genesis 25. Here's Pastor Chris once again to get us going.
God wanted Abraham to rest on the promise and marvel at the grace demonstrated that God would send his son in the fullness of time. His son, the beloved son, the son of his choosing. Here we are at the end of life. What's he doing? When you look over the course of your life, I'm sure some of our older brothers and sisters struggle with this. They look over the course of life and you look back and you realize how many stupid things you've done. I talked about last week the importance of training children and the importance of protecting them, overseeing and not handing them away to unbelievers. That could be distressing, couldn't it? A lot of failures along the way. A lot of things that you have done that you're ashamed about. I can't imagine having to bear all of those things in my conscience if I was an unbeliever. How many things I wrecked. It's almost universal now when I'm at the gym and I'm listening to people talk that they're on their second, third, fourth marriages. And the damage of how many kids are involved in all of it. I can't imagine bearing all of that failure if I had no knowledge of the Lord's forgiveness, I had no gospel peace, and I look back over the course of my life and everyone can't hide it. If everyone's honest, you've done things that are absolutely shameful. From the beginning, God said he was doing something for great Father Abraham. God was strengthening him all along the way in faith, reassuring him after all of the failures, after all of the mess-ups, after all of the weaknesses that he was with him. Even at one point in Genesis chapter 15, God coming down saying, why are you fearing, Abraham? Stop fearing. I am your shield and I am your exceedingly great reward. I've decided I'm doing that for you. So here's the picture. What do you have at the end of his life? He honors the Lord's design for marriage, takes a wife, but in faith is strengthened and fathers at the end of life six more nations right in front of you. And look at verse 6. He gives gifts to all of these sons of these concubines over the course of life and these by sons by Keturah. And notice how it reads. While he was still living, he sent them away from Isaac, his son, eastward to the east country. We read in verse 5 that everything he had, he gave to Isaac. Now, what does this mean? What is this? Not only is this a posture of repentance, I believe, but it's a whole scene of resting on the divine promise at the end of his life. And do you see it? God didn't have to come and say, Abraham, you send these sons away. You send these sons away like you did Ishmael. Abraham does it. Abraham packs them up. Can't imagine this situation. Can't imagine this scene. He packs up his sons. He loads them with gifts and he sends them to the east. You think, what is going on here? Abraham's believing. What's he believing? that through the one Son, the nations of the earth would be blessed. Through the one Son, the Son of God's choosing, the Son that God raised up, the Son that was a miraculous Son. You know Isaiah mentions these nations? Listen to Isaiah 60. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together to you. The rams of Nebaioth, all these names are mentioned right here, shall minister to you. They shall ascend with acceptance on my altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Did you just hear what Isaiah prophesied? The promise was they would dwell in God's house. They would come. Now, when you stand back and you begin to look at the mess of all of this, and you look at the mess of his life, that he fathered many of these sons, and he did it illegitimately. God took all of these messes throughout the course of this man's life, and he turned it all into the fulfilling of the very promise that he said that he would fulfill from the very first moment when he was in Ur of the Chaldeans. It's an overwhelming, I will, Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. And here he is in the land. Now picture the scene, end of his life. He's got the son, he's got the land, he's got nations surrounding his death. Nations. Why does this matter for us today? Well, not only are you one of those nations that have come, but God fulfilled his promise, and here in the land, look what he has done. When God has determined to bless us by grace, when God has from the beginning set us apart to himself and begins the work, when God starts the great project, none of our failures, none of the mishaps, none of the rebellions will prevent him from his ultimate determination from the foundation of the world to bless his people. None of it. And what joy and purpose that gives us till our last breath to believe him, to trust him, and to rest by faith in the Son of promise, in the true Son of God, knowing that everything that we have, everything he has already declared is ours. This is a glorious section to show us this, a fine close to a life of faith, seeing the promises. Now that's the first thing. This is how the life closes in life. But I want you to notice now what God says to us about it in death, about this life. It gets better. Look at verse 7 and 8. I think they're some of the most exciting verses in Genesis. Here's how the single great summary statement of the life of the believer goes. Here is what it is. Look at verse 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. Did you notice there it says that he died a good old age? Why does that matter? Why does the Lord want you to consider that? Because after God made the covenant of grace, do you remember what he said to Abraham? After he had passed through the pieces, he said something glorious. As for yourself, talked about Israel, he'd bring him back. You shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried in a good old age. God made another promise. The promise was this: I will sustain you the whole way through. And nothing at all will interrupt you from having this blessed life and dying at the good age that I have determined for you. That was before Hagar. That was before all those events. That was before some of the lying that went on. There was the later lying with Abimelech. God said that. I will sustain you. Here he is, 175 years. Remember, he was 75 when God called him out. There's a reason that round number of 100. The Lord is telling you something here. 100 years in the land, he sat in that land. Abraham's days were perfectly numbered by the Lord. And why is that important? When you begin to step back and survey his life, what a hard life it was. There's nothing easy about that life. Called to leave his family and his father and his mother and go to a land that he had never seen before, in fear, constantly in fear for his life, in constant threats and constant dangers, and he faced the problem of the fear of his own life, and so he lied. He tried to live by faith, was constantly messing up and bumbling around, and all God said the whole way through is, you're going to die at a good old age. It will happen. From the beginning, he said that, and here we are. And what should you be saying? Look at how every single day, every breath is perfectly numbered and fulfilled by the Lord for you. And it's almost, I feel like God is in some way screaming, yelling, look at this. I uphold every aspect of life. I did it for him. I'll do it for you. And you need to know this. Nothing takes away what I've determined. Nothing takes away. Nothing adds to. Nothing takes away. Oh, you may suffer consequences for your actions, but nothing ultimately takes away what he's determined. You don't add a day, you don't subtract a day. He wants you to know he fulfills the days. None of us die too soon or late. Nothing cuts it short. Now imagine how that should affect us if we believe that. It's not going to promote irresponsibility, of course. But think of when all the afflictions and the trials hit and the sorrows, think of the struggles of living in a sin-cursed world. Abraham saw it all. He saw what happened to Sodom, the grief that that brought him. He saw what sin did to his family. He saw what not trusting, where it led him. And what was the reality? The whole way through, God never left him nor forsook him. Never once. There's so many Christians today act like God turns off and turns on his favor. I'm not done yet. The years were perfectly fulfilled. Then God promises something else. Promised something else to Abraham. Not only will you die in a good old age, this is the great part of the sermon. This is my favorite part of the sermon. But you will die in peace. You will die in peace. I want everyone to look at verse 8. Now, every translation tries to add explanatory words to help us with this, but sometimes they're just not helpful. I want you to look carefully at verse 8. We read that he breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full. Translations try to help us understand full of days or full of years. Cut it. He died satisfied. He died fulfilled. He died full. That's the meaning. Notice he didn't say he died carefree or it was just a life absence of distress. No, that's not what he's saying. The whole story of life, his life, when it was all said and done, from beginning to end, from the calling to the end, it was a full life, satisfied life, surrounded with peace the whole way, God's peace. Now, I don't know if you realize what God has done for you. I don't know if you think about this. What price did it cost to enjoy that when he gave his son? But do you realize this is a peculiar blessing that the Lord gives his sheep? You realize that this is something that he gives his sheep. You say, how so? Unbelievers go to their graves all the time. They seem full. They seem satisfied. And I say, no, they're not. Not even close. You know they cannot have and they do not have what you take for granted you do have. They don't have faith. They don't have a Savior. And if they're going to their graves with no faith and no Savior, what is completely absent from the heart and the mind that the Lord has promised to secure for his people? Peace. there looms over them, Hebrews says, a fearful expectation of judgment. And they have nothing to cling to. I have seen this. It is the greatest tragedy. I have sat in beds of people dying who don't believe, and it's hard. What does God do for the believer? Justifies him. He works throughout all the course of one's life. And what does he do? He justifies, he gives them peace, he trains them with this peaceable fruit of righteousness that guards the hearts and the minds, so that John says the benefit of that for you is that you go to your graves in hope. And that's not wishful thinking. You go to your graves with the removal of fear. Instead, what does he give you? He gives you confidence that he loves you and that you have the assurance that he will receive you. John said that love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, confidence toward God. And God, again, is not writing this for Abraham. I want you to see this. I was studying Calvin on this, and there's been a repeated thing that I keep coming across that he says that you'd never really expect. And I think Reformed people can be remiss in not saying this. Maybe because we're a little too nervous about the prosperity guys, and rightly so. But listen to Calvin. We get it even better than Father Abraham. Let us learn that we may not become weary in our course or our lives. To rely on his support, here it is, that the Lord has promised us a happy issue of life, and one truly far more glorious than that of our father Abraham. Faith is the preserver of a tranquil mind. I see that repeatedly. He's promised you an issue of a happy life. Now, I'm not done. Not quite. Verse 9 tells us he was buried in the cave of Machpelah. There stands Isaac and Ishmael. His body goes into the grave. There's one last thing that stands out in that text, if you look at verse 8. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. Now, there's only one person in that grave. There's only one person there, Sarah. That's not referring to the burial. Body goes into the cave next to Sarah in anticipation of the resurrection. But I'm reminded of something that our Lord said when he was walking on the earth, something he said about Abraham. Concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. His soul was gathered with those who shared the same faith as Father Abraham. In other words, he was gathered with Adam. He was gathered with Abel. He was gathered with Enoch. He was gathered with Noah. He was gathered with Shem and Job and all of those who had already preceded. He was gathered ultimately to the Son. He was gathered to Jesus. And that's exactly what the Lord promises his sheep. This is exactly what he promises, that when you die, the body goes in the ground. One day that's coming up. When you die, you are gathered to your people. Think of all those today who've gone before us at this point in history. You know, if you use the statement in Hebrews of a cloud of witnesses, you have the patriarchs, and they're all saying the promises are yes and amen. They're all validating. It's true. Moses, David, Rahab. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and all the prophets. They're waiting for the resurrection of the body. And then Hebrews says this, all these having obtained a good testimony through faith, they didn't receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You know what that means, right? You've got to come in before they're finally perfected. They are waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. They are waiting to see you. And when the child of God dies, he immediately is gathered. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. There is another gathering. You'll notice that Ishmael was gathered to his people. And we need to remember that those who are not gathered to the Son of God have a different destiny. And that's why we preach. This is why we're doing this, calling people to come to faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because this is the life. Who would not want that? Who would say, I want to do it my own way? All the way through, God reached down from the beginning. God reached down, God grabbed this man, and God pulled him out of Ur of the Chaldeans. And by grace, he called him. By grace, he made promises to him. By grace, he justified him. By grace, he continued to the end to work to sanctify this man from start to finish, upheld and preserved. And what we've studied throughout all these months is true of every believing saint. This is your story. This is the story of those who believe. If you see that today and you believe that, then shouldn't your light somewhat shine, especially if you're older? You know, in the prayer group the other day, one of the ladies asked for a prayer. And she says, I want you to pray for our older generation, that they would be a blessing to the younger generation. And not complain. Be a blessing. Why? What do you lack? You're completely satisfied. Completely satisfied, you have a Savior. Abraham looked through Isaac for the future son to come. Today we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May we then demonstrate that we know God and believe him, because he has satisfied our lives in the life of his almighty Son.
I like what John Wesley said. He said, our people die well. And what he meant by that was Christians had a way of dying differently than those who weren't. And in the 1700s, well, life wasn't easy. It was pretty hard. So to die well was making a real statement that they trusted in Christ. And it's our hope and prayer that you find yourself in the same boots as those Christians in the 1700s and Abraham, as we've read about him today. And this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Closing out today's program, we invite you to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the program. Maybe you'd like to listen to the broadcast again. Any reason at all, we'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a quick praise report saying thanks for the program. That means a great deal to us. You reach out to us at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805. Now, bear in mind, as you visit us online, again, agradio.org, that'll also provide a great jumping-off point to the other platforms that we're available on, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Again, you can jump off to any of those platforms through our website, agradio.org. If you do have a question you would like Pastor Chris to address here on the program, we would invite you to use your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question, your name, and where you're calling from, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. If we use your question on the air, we'll email you back and let you know when the program airs, so you'll be able to listen to Pastor Chris's answer again right here on Abounding Grace Radio. And then finally, as we conclude our time today, a quick reminder that this radio broadcast airs on this station you're listening to because friends of the ministry come alongside of us prayerfully and financially. There is a financial cost to making sure that these programs continue to air here on this station. And if you would like to link arms and partner with us, become a part of this family, we would love to hear from you. Again, reach out to us at agradio.org or simply call 888-504-8805. Well, we look forward to seeing you next time we get together. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondido.org. URC.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.